because this fifth Sunday is Palm Sunday, and so it'd be great to celebrate with everybody in one service. And we're looking forward to it. Next week we'll be talking about Christ's triumphal entry, and it leads into Easter. And so if you're into that, just know you got 2 weeks to make it to JCPenney's to get you an Easter outfit and to wear for Easter Sunday. And if you know what I'm talking about, then that's okay. But growing up, that was like our thing. You know, JCPenney's, like, that was a place. You had the ties and the shirts and all that good stuff, and got the outfit. And so we'll see. We'll see how you look in a couple weeks. I'm just giving you a warning. You got 2 weeks to prepare. So that's coming up. I'm excited about it. Hey, this morning, we're just going to jump right into it. We've been going through not a book. Normally, our style at Brighton is go through a book. But we knew we had a couple things coming up. We know we have Palm Sunday. We got Easter coming up. We'll start a new series after Easter. But what we've been doing is we've been talking about things that have a tendency to wreck relationships in our lives. The first one we talked about was ambition, and how are we going to have, like, godly ambition, or is it selfish ambition? Last week we talked about fear, how we allow fear to wreck some relationships in our lives. And this week we're going to talk about one that I think a lot of us like to carry around with us. It's hard to get rid of. You know, one thing is you start reading the Word of God and get more into the Word of God. I love it because you see people as they really are. Isn't that true? The Bible is not sugarcoating anything for you, is it? I mean, the Bible, a lot of it could be an episode on Jerry Springer Show, because it's that bad. Like some of the genealogies, like, I would say, you know what, I probably would have left that part out of the genealogy, right? Because there's some things that you're like, I don't know if I'd share that. But what it is Bible, you see, it's made up of a lot of individuals, a lot of families, a lot of marriages, whereas there's issues in those. Now, some of you grew up with great families. You got great families. I grew up in a great home. Loved mom and dad. They were wonderful. However, I know everybody's family looks a little different. And I even know that it looks a little different on the outside than it is on the inside, right? If you follow me at home while I'm working on a car, I'm probably not the most sanctified person underneath the car sometimes, right? Because cars can be frustrating. And so we all know that we differ in some ways, but regardless of how great or maybe not great your family was, this life, we're all going to learn, you've all learned it by now, is you're going to have to deal with disappointment and hurt. And so we're thinking of that. There's two ways you can have a great family, okay? The first way is this. Everyone can learn to be perfect to each other all the time. That's the first way. The second way, you just learn to show grace. Now, how many know the first way is not an option? Right? And so we're going to have to learn to show grace. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Today is this little thing that we carry around, this little thing that we don't like to set down. It's called bitterness. We all do this at one time or another. We carry this bitterness, this anger, this frustration. We carry it around with us because in some part we think we're owed it. I mean, technically they did something to us. And so we carry this hurt, we carry this bitterness around with us, and it's a great way to wreck your life. Proverbs 14:30 says, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. Another word there for envy is bitterness. But bitterness makes the bones rot. It's giving you a little clue there what bitterness does to your life. It affects everything in your life. Every part of you is touched when you carry this bitterness around. Parts of your life that has nothing to do with the hurt are affected. Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and it may be, and by it may become defiled. So what we're seeing this day through Scripture is that this bitterness that you like to carry, we all like to carry, it's going to defile your whole life. Now, some of you carry it from a hurt in the past, from maybe from a parent, a spouse, a boss, a friend, somebody. Some way you've allowed this bitterness to seep in, and it's poisoning your whole life, and you're dominated by it. It affects your emotional well-being. It affects every relationship in your life. There's a counselor. The counselor said that the greatest foothold of the enemy in many places is that place of unforgiveness in your heart. But again, we like to carry it because, honestly, someone did something to us. Someone said something to hurt us. Someone took advantage of us. Somebody took credit for what we did. And we feel it's justified, so we carry this around. I'm hoping today, by God's grace, we learn to lay it down this morning. One of the most pivotal passages that talks about this conflict in verses forgiveness is found in Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at it today. We're going to kind of walk through it. Romans chapter 12. I want to start with verse 17. Verse 17, just the first little sentence there. Repay no one evil for evil. Come on, if we're just being honest this morning, we don't like that verse, right? Come on. Y'all are being too sanctified this morning. We don't like that verse, right? Somebody smacks us, we want to smack them back. I mean, let's be honest, all right? Just tell the truth this morning in church. Somebody hurts you, you want to hurt them back. I mean, that's just in our nature. That's how we want to respond when somebody does. And so we don't like when it says repay no one evil for evil. It doesn't compute, right? And so people with different personality types just responds in different ways. There's different ways of responding. Aggressive. Some of you grew up in a family that yelled a lot. I did not. I have a friend who did. I am not comfortable with that. Like, you go to their family stuff, and everybody's just yelling. Like, it stresses me out. Like, I can't handle that. And so that family is very aggressive. Some of you are passive. You take it all in. You withdraw. You look patient. But the rage is raging inside, right? And it's going to burst one of these moments. Anytime, it's going to go, right? And so you got the aggressive, you people who fight, you got your passive, you people who flee, and you got a combo of both, right? They may smack you and then they might run, right? And so it's a combination of both. You can have both at the same time. But it's passive-aggressive, and this person maybe responds by just not attacking. They're more subtle in their attack, right? Maybe they freeze you out. Maybe they turn away. Crying. You know, crying is a tool you can use to wound people. John Piper, he talked about personalities and way we handled bitterness and stuff. He says it's like this. He said, personalities differ. Your retribution may take the form of tears that look like hurt, but the hurt that the heart has learned that this may be the only way to hurt back. It may come out of silence because we have resolved not to fight. It may show up in a picky criticism, a relentless correction. It may strike out at a person like having nothing to do with its origin. And it may feel warranted in its actions by how wrongly it has been treated. So how we handle this point, what you do with it, you hold it in, you let it go, you strike back. I mean, we're dealing with hurt this morning. Look what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. It says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Now, it's not always possible to live peaceably with somebody seeking to harm you. And sometimes you got to remove yourself from that situation. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But going to verse 19, it says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. Come on, I think we skip over that one a little too much. What does it say? He said, never avenge yourself. Listen, I know my wrath, my vengeance, but compared to God's, so like if I have to think about it, my wrath versus God's wrath, I'm hoping God's wrath upon you. I'm just saying, I'm going to be honest this morning, right? God's wrath be upon you, you do something wrong with me. But what that does, it takes it out of my hands, doesn't it? I don't have to worry about it. Unless God's got it, just leave it in his hands. So look at the verse goes on, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay it, says the Lord. So as a believer, we have this sense of justice that will be served. You see, when the wrong's been done, there's a deep desire for in the human heart to see justice done, right? It's like this little tuning fork that we know something's out of whack. The guilty's got to pay, right? And I think it's God-given. He put that in us. And it's why we enjoy those revenge movies so much. They're fulfilling to us, right? Somebody gets revenge, right? But Paul says you don't have to have that for a believer, that we don't have to avenge ourselves because we can rest assurance that justice will be done, that God said he will take care of it. He will take care of you. And that's what I'm saying, that we're out for vengeance, but the Bible's saying, hang on, whoa, pump the brakes. Trust God. Trust God that he's going to take care of it. Justice will be served. And so we can rest and relax in that. And the irony is, only when we believe in a God of perfect justice, we'll be able to forgive. And so to continue in Romans chapter 12, verse 20, it says, to the contrary, okay, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Hear the heart of this passage. Don't repay evil for evil. Repay good for evil, and don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Right? When we're harmed, our natural response is to harm back, right? You watch the Thunder, one of the top teams in the NBA right now, I'm just saying, Oklahoma City Thunder. Watch a game last night, 4 ejections in the game. Literally, this one, they got in a scuffle, and you see this guy like takes a swap and slaps a guy in the face. Well, what are you going to do? I mean, you got to slap back, right? And so that's what happens. You just have to tumble because one guy, and the other one could not let it go. They had to repay harm with harm. And so, of course, everybody gets ejected, right? We still win the game, but everybody gets ejected. And so, but you see that played out that, and so what Paul is saying here is that we don't have to do that. But we want to do that because there's several motivations in this for us. We have this sense of justice we talked about. That justice, there needs to be balance, and when it's out of balance, we feel it. We've got to realign things. A lot of times, this is hatred. Right? I hate you for how you hurt me, and I want to make you suffer. But also, sometimes it's out of self-protection. Right? Like, I've taken advantage of, and I've got to take a shot at you now. And sometimes it's a sense that this is how we change them, right? And I think we love to stand on this one. This is how we change them, right? Because if I just let them get away with it, they're not going to learn. So I got to smack them back so they learn, right? We love that one because we feel justified in that one. But this passage, what it's saying is we're going to overturn all those by teaching you two revolutionary things about grace. The first one is this: grace absorbs evil and gives good. Grace absorbs evil and gives good. All right, say if you ask to borrow my pickup truck, probably won't let you, but you can ask. If I actually let you borrow my pickup truck, you bring it back, it's got a big old honking dent in the side of it, I'm going to be a little angry. But I will say, you know what? I forgive you. Okay, who takes the brunt of that? Not you. It's my insurance. And how many knows, life lesson here, you ever deal with insurance, just a pro tip, you lose. Okay? Every time you deal with insurance, you lose. So I'm going to be out a lot of money, get my truck fixed. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to show grace, but I'm going to absorb the pain of it. Listen, grace always involves suffering. Grace always involves suffering. If you forgive, what you're doing is you're going to agree to absorb the wrong for what they've done. You seem to learn that now. This is what grace is. If you decide to show grace, you're going to absorb the suffering. Oh, but where have we seen this before? Jesus showed us this very example. He showed us, because our sin, he decided to show grace. And that meant he went to the cross. That meant he was beaten. That meant he had the lashes. He had the crown thrones, the thorns. That means he was nailed to a cross. That means he absorbed a lot of pain to show you and I grace. He set the example. He didn't just forgive us. He absorbed the pain. And so grace absorbs evil and gives good. And the second thing grace does is grace overcomes evil. Paul says that in giving good, you actually overcome evil. Overcome is one of those great words. It's like a war term, isn't it? That means to conquer or to wrestle to the ground. And we see that in verse 20. It says, by repaying good for evil, you will put burning coals on their head. Now, isn't that what you want to do in the first place? When somebody wrongs you, don't you just want to put burning coals on their head, right? But what Paul is saying, he's saying this is what it's like. When somebody comes against you, when somebody attacks you, when somebody hurts you, when somebody says some harmful things to you, what you do is if you show grace, it's like you poured burning coals on their head. Why? Because it says, it's like it wakes them up. Why? Because they're not expecting that. They're expecting, they're bracing for a slap. Because they know they wronged you. They know that you're justified in response, and so they're embracing for that. But when you're sprung with grace, it's like, it knocks them off balance. They're not expecting that. They didn't think you returned like that. And so Paul's saying, that's what happened. That moment you're putting burning coals, it's like it wakes them up. It's not about hurting them, but it's about waking them up to what's happening here, that you're showing grace. And when you give kindness to someone who's wronged you, it wakes them up to the selfishness and the stupidity of their own sin that's going on in that moment. There's this another deep ingrained myth in us that the way we change people is by repaying evil for evil. But if you think about it, that's simply not true. Repaying evil for evil doesn't overcome evil. It just continues the evil in the life. And showing grace is how we overcome it. Again, how did God change you? We always go back to how did God change you? He didn't repay your evil with evil. He showed grace to you. He even knew the choices you would continue to make and still chose grace over repaying you for what you deserved. He changed our hearts. He overcame evil in us. Listen. When you have hatred in your heart for someone, evil is just going to keep growing. It's like my precious. Come on, Lord of the Ring fans. The longer you leave that ring on, the more it's going to go bad. That's what Paul is saying. Is the longer we soak in that, the longer we hung on to that, the more the evil is growing and growing in our hearts. And that's what those first two verses really showed us. Proverbs, that bitterness is rotting in our bones. The Hebrews, the rot of bitterness, the root of bitterness and forgiveness is undefiling all of our relationships. Yet some of you this morning are holding on to bitterness, holding on to unforgiveness in your heart. You walked in with bitterness, something done to you this week, something done to you last year, something maybe you grew up with. You're still holding on to this bitterness. And what Paul's saying, it's going through every part of your life. It's touching every relationship in your life. You're like, no, it's not. I guarantee you it is. We got to see a way out of this prison. Lamentation, I love it. Lamentations 3:22. His mercies are what? New every morning. Romans 8:28, he's weaving it all out for good. Right? We get out of prison of past bitterness into the promises of God, into the future grace. So let me summarize these verses this morning before we move on. Christians don't respond to evil aggressively, passively, or passively aggressive. We respond to overcome evil by showing aggressive grace. And I know that whenever we talk about grace, there's always a couple objections that come up. And so I want to talk about a couple of the big objections that we see. The first one is this. If I forgive, who's going to take care of me? Right? If I forgive, who's going to take up my cause? Who's going to nurse my wounds? If I forgive, who's going to take care of me? The short answer is God. Right, you have to believe in God's sovereign plan. Remember Joseph? Remember the story of Joseph? You're talking about someone, he had grievances all of his life. He'd been wounded all of his life. He'd been hurt all of his life since he was a boy. Thrown in a pit, sold into slavery. He had every right to be like, Lord, if I lay down this bitterness, who's going to take up the battle? Sold into slavery, gets a great job. That turns south on him. Goes back to prison. Look how it talks about it in Genesis 50:20. He says, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Listen, what is he saying? He's saying, listen, I know, but I gave up the bitterness and God took care of me. I didn't hold on to it and God laid out my steps. I didn't bring up the fight. I didn't strike back, and look what happened. God worked all this out for an amazing plan to save lives right now. What about the cross? There was never a time where it looked like injustice was winning than at the cross. But yet that was when God was doing his greatest work. The objection of, well, if I don't, who's going to? We're going to let God take care of it. The second objection I hear a lot when we talk about grace is, if I'm being hurt, are you telling me just to take it? Not at all. Not at all. First off, part of overcoming evil is confronting someone in their sin. Scripture talks a lot about this. In Ephesians 4:15, it says, speak the truth to each other in love. Galatians 6:1 tells us, brothers, if anyone has caught any transgressions, you who are spiritual should restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Right? So it's encouraging us. When we see someone failing, when we see someone caught in fault, we go to restore them. But part of restoring them is that love and forgiveness. Right? Luke 17:34, if your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. This is not yelling at them. Let me say that. You're not verbally whipping them, okay? It's lovingly confronting them for their sake, which means you do without the slightest trace of malice, hatred, or vengeance. Jesus had a great way of talking about this. I mean, he usually does, right? His way of talking about it is turn the other cheek. I need you to hear this morning. It is not loving to fail to confront someone in their sin. It's not loving. When you see them doing something, destroying them or destroying their relationship, and you say nothing, that is not loving. A lot of times we don't say anything to someone about their sin and we pass it off as, oh, we're just having patience or we feel like a martyr, but all we're doing is being selfish and cowardly towards that person. The other thing I say here about this passage, recognize that there's a time when you have to remove yourself from a situation because it's not possible to live peaceably with somebody, okay? Go back to Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. I mean, we know it's not always possible, okay? And so do you know what comes right after Romans 12? Romans 13 is a test. None of you pass, okay? Romans 12, Romans 13. But in Romans 13, it talks about the government having the right to bear the sword and put people into prison. And he's telling us to forgive, but recognizing there's a time where there's a larger thing going on and somebody needs to go to prison. We should still forgive them in our hearts, but we need to remove ourselves from the situation, or maybe they need to go to jail. That would be the case in abuse, alcoholism, maybe consistently taking advantage of you. You need to remove yourself from that situation. But I want to be very clear, because I don't want some of you to use this as an excuse to break relationships or leave your marriage. Don't confuse wounded feelings with lasting damage. There's a difference. There's a difference between you're insensitive and I'm being abused. There's a difference there. Okay, so I want to go back to Proverbs. So how do we know? Go back to Proverbs 19:11. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook the offense. So sometimes we just need to overlook the offense, but then sometimes we need to walk away. So how do we know when it's right to walk away? That's difficult. I can give you some guidelines about when you're being significantly hurt, when the person demonstrated a consistent pattern of a hardening of heart. But at the end of the day, it comes down to Proverbs 8:19-11. It says it comes down to wisdom. It comes down to wisdom. And I understand it's hard to make that decision on your own. And so wisdom is found in a council of others within the church. So if you ever find you're in a place where you don't know if it's time to walk away, or seek help. go to the church, find it, talk to one of the pastors here at the church. If we can't help resolve the issue, maybe we can find a good Christian counselor. But there are times when you do just walk away. But that comes through wisdom. The third objection we find a lot of times when we're talking about grace is, should we never let someone bear the consequences for their sin? No. Sometimes you let people suffer the penalty for their sins. Proverbs 19:19. A man of great wealth will pay the penalty, for if you deliver him, you will have to do it again. Which means sometimes you just got to let people bear the consequences. We do that with our kids, right? When you tell them not to do something, they do it. We forgive them. But there's still a consequence, right? You're still taking something away. You're still grounding them. You're still putting them time out. My day, it was still getting the switch, you know, the hairbrush, whatever is close enough that they can grab and start swinging, right? But that there's a consequence. You're forgiven, but there's a consequence to it. And so Proverbs 19 says, listen, you don't do the consequence, they're going to do it again. So sometimes you do let people suffer. And again, it takes wisdom to decide this. So I want to give you some very practical, and I need to really wrap up. I want to give you six practical steps to aggressive grace, okay? That's what we're looking for. But let's be honest, each one of us need help with this. We got some grace are great. Some days we don't show grace too great, okay? Here's some six practical steps. First one is this. When possible, overlook the offense, right? When possible, overlook the offense. Proverbs 19:11, a man's wisdom gives his patience. It is to his glory to overlook the offense, okay? Any of you ever played pickup basketball before? Okay, love pickup basketball. Half the time, though, half the people don't know how to play basketball. Okay? So they will be slapping the junk out of you. They will be pushing you. They'll be tripping you. And for the first few times, you overlook the offense, right? You got finger marks on your hand. First few times, you're going to overlook the offense. But then you're going to start calling them out, right? And so you got to know when to just overlook the offense, okay? Now, I'm not talking about confronting every little thing. But if there's repetition, you need to confront it. Because listen, the bottom line is this. In Christ, we're secure enough to be taken advantage of every once in a while. I don't mean to put yourself in harm's way. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, if you're in Christ, they really can't touch your identity. What happens is, when these relationships, these earthly relationships, start impacting us, start hurting us, start challenging us, that may be a greater sign that this relationship is not in order. If this relationship is in Christ, these will hurt us a lot less. So if these start getting to us a lot, we need to maybe go back and see how this relationship is. So maybe sometimes we just let it go, okay? Second thing, forgive in advance. I love this one. Mark 11:25, but when you pray, first, forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Okay, you're praying, you think about something, you forgive in advance. You stop what you're doing, you ask for forgiveness, and you go on. Listen, Luke 17:3-4 says, if your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins again, seven times come back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. That doesn't mean you have a little scorecard with 498 marks on it. As soon as they reach 491, you rip it up and say, all right, it's over. You're done. That doesn't mean that at all. It's saying basically seven is a perfect number of completion. So seven times seven was basically a way to say eternity, right? So you just forgive them. The third way is a great way. You need to take a time out. I think we all could practice this one of showing grace. You wonder how you should respond to someone who's wronged you. It's almost never a good thing to respond in the moment. You're in any kind of leadership, they tell you, write the email, close the computer, go home, and don't send it till the next day. Why? Because once you have a chance to sleep on it, you remove yourself from the situation, you calm down, hello, you maybe want to rephrase that email. And so take a time out. I read a story recently, best story ever. This woman was taken, arrested. Her and her husband got in a fight one night. Husband said her meatloaf was dry. She did not take a time out. And she got took to prison. I'm like, sometimes it does us good maybe just to shut up and take a time out. When you respond in anger, it's never a good thing when you respond in anger. So take a time out. Take a time out. Rest in grace. Ask God, what are you teaching me here? If you find yourself getting that angry, that's a perfect moment. So God, what are you teaching me here? Are you teaching me maybe I'm not as close with you? If I was closer with you, some of this wouldn't be affecting me as much. Are you teaching me to show grace? Are you teaching me to be patient? God, what are you trying to teach me? Fourth thing is showing aggressive grace. Rejoice in your own forgiveness. Remember where you came from. Remember what it was like to be in prison with bitterness and guilt and shame. But when you bowed that knee and Jesus freed you from all that, remember what that was like? But we forget. And so when somebody comes against you, we forget. So we go, oh, I gotta show them who's what's what. You know, no. I'm going to stop and I'm going to rejoice that God showed me grace. I for sure did not deserve grace. And so anytime I get that angry, I'm going to remember what God did for me. Fifth, I'm going to take the initiative. Mark 11:25, when you stand in prayer, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. It's saying, go, you take the initiative. Go right now. Go ask them for forgiveness. Forgive them right now. You know why? Let's follow this thought out a little bit. Okay, if somebody angers you and you got that, you place that bitterness right here. It's saying you go right then. As soon as you recognize that, you go right then. Ask for forgiveness or you offer them forgiveness, whatever. You go. Okay, what happens if you don't go? You don't deal with it. If you don't deal with it, you live with it. And it starts growing. That's why Scripture is so clear. You recognize that you hold something to get somebody, or you haven't forget. You do it right then, as soon as you think of it. Why? Because if you don't, it opens your heart up to grow evil in there. And it separates you from Jesus. That's why it's so important. Right then, as you think of it, you go, you take the initiative, you ask forgiveness. The sixth one, I want the worship team to come on up. I have got to stop. Sixth one is this, apologize for your wrongdoings without qualifications. Okay, this is going to be a hard one for some of you. Apologize for wrongdoings without qualifications. You never ask forgiveness, which is really just getting away to fleece the other person for what they're doing. And here's how that would look. Here's what apologizing with qualifications would look like. I'm sorry I said that. You're such an idiot. Yeah, just stop with the first part. Don't qualify it. Don't say the rest of it. I mean, you're such an idiot. You wouldn't have forced me to act this way. Come on. So don't just apologize. Don't apologize. Say, I'm sorry, but you know, you made me so mad. I apologize, but you acted like this, and that was pretty much idiotic, so I couldn't take it, so I had to say something. You don't apologize with qualifications. Just apologize. Separate yourself from this conversation. What I want to do this morning is just remind us, this is such an easy thing for you and I to carry around, but Paul is saying it grows into this enormous thing in our life that we carry for years. We carry bitterness, we carry unforgiveness for years. That's how a lot of counselors make their money today. They're dealing with junk you've been carrying since you was a kid. Listen, I'm all for Christian counselors. I'm not saying nothing against that. I'm just saying that maybe if we would have decided to lay that down years ago, it wouldn't have grown to be such a big deal in your life. Some of you this morning, you walked in with bitterness. Somebody said something to you this week that just set you off. And now that's all you can think about. And you're even questioning yourself, well, maybe I am. Maybe I am that. Maybe I'm not any good. Maybe I'm not, can't accomplish anything. Maybe I don't deserve love. Maybe I don't. And that bitterness is starting to grow. And it's like this disease is breaking through all out on you because you you've not dealt with it. Maybe there's somebody in your own family you've not forgiven. You've been carrying that around. Paul's saying you got to deal with that now, because it will take you under. And where we find relief for all this is in Christ. That person hurt you, yes. That person took advantage of you, yes. They said some not kind things, absolutely. But today we're gonna lay that down. We're gonna remind ourselves we're in Christ. If I'm in Christ, that means He's working all this out for my good. That's when I'm so thankful He's smarter than I am. Because sometimes I can't see a way. Sometimes I'm just so mad, I'm so frustrated, so angry. I'm so mad, I'm so frustrated, so angry that I'm dealing with all this pain right now. Like, it doesn't make sense in my mind. I don't know why. You know what? I don't understand it. I just have to remind myself I'm in Christ. If I'm in Christ, I know He's working all things out for my good. So I'm not going to carry around bitterness, anger, unforgiveness. I'm going to lay it at the feet of Jesus. Would you stand with us this morning? Listen, growing up in church, we have these marks of what it means to be saved. And one mark of the gospel is that you forgive. That in Christ, that you're secure enough that you're able to forgive. That in Christ, you're grateful enough that you're eager to forgive. Listen, through the gospel, we know that we're guilty of sin. We know that every one of us have rejected authority. We've lived for our own glory, not for God's. And appealing to that is death. But we know that Jesus absorbed that penalty. He took the pain and forgave us. It's a gift. So this morning, we are to be imitators of Christ. So this morning, if you walked in with any kind of bitterness, any kind of unforgiveness in your life, today is the day that we deal with it. Today is the day you lay it at the feet of Jesus and say, you know what? I'll let Christ handle that for me. I'm going to walk away free in Jesus' name. Bow your heads with this morning. Dearly Father, Lord, I pray this morning if there's anyone in here, Lord, they walked in, they have bitterness in their heart. Lord, a family member, a friend, a co-worker, a spouse, they said something that just didn't set right. We've been holding on to it for a while. Lord, I pray that we lay it down at your feet this morning. Lord, that we give it up. We give it to you. We trust you, God. God, that we show grace even when we don't want to. But that we're going to trust you this morning, Lord. We're going to lay at your feet. We're going to trust you because we know that this morning we are in Christ. We will not let evil grow in our hearts. We're going to give it up this morning, Lord. If that's you this morning, open up these altars. They're going to sing us, they're going to lead us in a song. Open up these altars. And if you have something in your heart, you've got to let go. Some unforgiveness, some bitterness. I pray that today you choose grace. You choose grace and you lay it at the feet of Jesus. And you say, no more. No more.